This is a HeadGum Podcast.
What's up, shitheads? Welcome back to another episode of High and Mighty. It's me, your boy, standing 6'2", 298 pounds, hailing from Nassau County, Long Island, it's the number one fuckboy, Johnny G. John Gabers. All you gotta do is trust me. Jackson Maine, what happened to him? He died. He killed himself. Joining me in the High and Mighty, my upstairs neighbor is flipping out for a night record in quarantine. I'm screaming, you're screaming, but the reason I'm so fucking amped up is because of my guest. I'm a longtime listener of his, so excited to have him on High and Mighty. From LA Pod, it's Scott Frazier!
Your upstairs neighbor is really screaming because this is how they found out Jackson Maine killed himself.
That's what they're really upset about. I was supposed to go to the CMTs with him. I still think Jackson Maine was a conspiracy how he died. I think same shit with like Hillary was behind it or something. The websites
while
I'm following.
While she was in the woods, yeah. That was what she was actually doing.
She got severely, a lot of people were right. Hillary was severely injured in the 2016 election, but it was because she broke her fucking arm choking out Jackson Maine.
this motherfucker, like Taylor Swift, couldn't be bothered to endorse me.
Go to sleep.
One woman wrecking crew. Yeah.
She's taking out country artists one by one. We were just talking a little bit off mic before we got on because I had a communication snafu where I tried to reschedule twice, but including the second email was to reschedule back to the original time to an old work email of yours. But
yes,
realizing today we are recording this on the 8th for this week's episode, but I listened to LA Pod this morning and you had mentioned you have left your, we call them survivor jobs, day jobs in the industry, but for you, you left your gig.
Right. What was that Dolly Parton working the 5 to 9 thing that she just did for the Super Bowl? Yeah. Yeah, that's me now. I'm doing gig work 24/7 now.
Perfect.
24/7.
Nice shift. Thank God I got rid of this steady day job. Now I could just write $10 Medium articles from 4 to 7 in the morning.
Oh God, $10. I wish. No, yeah. So I did. I left my steady paycheck behind for the exciting world of local news podcasting, LA Pod. My co-host Hayes Davenport and I always envisioned a world in which we could prove that local news was not boring or depressing. And we've done at least half of that. Like, yeah. We can make people
it can
interested
be depressing.
In how depressing it is.
Rarely boring. Often depressing. At least not LA specific, but this year specific.
I mean, yeah, it's universal. Everywhere is equally depressing. It's
ubiquitous.
Just yes, it is a standardized gray stew of news now. So yeah, that's been exciting. That's my big 2021 we actually have a couple of other projects that Hayes and I are working on right now in furtherance of that goal of just getting people engaged locally. So
that's so exciting. We're talking,
seemed like a good time.
It's a perfect time. The job market is wide open. Now's the
cut
time.
Your legs out from under you.
I ripped up my insurance forms and and started volunteering at a vaccination site.
But do you really need an umbrella if you're already soaked to the bone?
Yeah, right, fuck it. Yeah. I want to say welcome to the podcaster life. It seems to
Thank
be
you.
It seems to be pandemic proof. If you can live off $900 a month, you made in the shade. That's so fucking exciting. This is how much I hate work. Hearing you a borderline stranger, we've interacted a few times online, a handful of times over Zoom on each other's pods, but I was like, I'm so happy for Scott.
Yeah,
I don't know
know your personal life at all. And I was like, he's going to have so much more time. Yeah, exactly. It, it helped my day. It really, because I have had no job for a long period of time, but today I had to shoot something and it sucked. And I was like, oh man. And shooting something is the job I quit my day job for. And now I'm like, I want to quit this and just podcast. I was mad that I had to do that. I was like, I want to just go back home and talk into a microphone.
I do have a little bit of worry that I will never be able to do, like, because podcasting is so great that I worry that I will never be able to actually do other things.
Right.
Oh. I won't be able to turn it back on.
Oh, I'm learning so well in the last few years. Now, I'll toot my own horn for a second. I'm very good at podcasting. I'm very good at being a guest on people's podcasts. That skill is rapidly drying up. We have like 4 years of podcasting left.
Right.
What am I really good at? I think you're talking about talking, Gabrus. I'm like, no, specifically talking while being on and not caring what the other person says is my skill set, which is not considered a good skill in any other profession.
The art of having a conversation that strangers want to listen to. Right? Right. As long as that remains marketable, I mean, we're solid. If you want, though, I mean, stick with me because I can shoot you pictures of me putting together today. My big project was putting together stands for my Sonos speakers, which I think are like the brand that Patrick Bateman would have bought if there were like a American Psycho 2021.
Yeah, what you're listening to are Sonos speakers. Promo code Bateman. Huey Lewis in the News sounds best when played through two speakers on individual shelves.
If you don't do the stereo pairing, then you're not hearing it as Huey Lewis intended.
Speaking of the ability to keep people interested in a conversation they're not having, let's introduce our topic today. Now, so on the LA Pod, LA podcast, which is you, Hayes Davenport, and Alyssa Walker, you guys discuss local LA stuff. But one big thing that you guys are all into, which is sort of global, more is bigger than LA, but we're specifically into it. And this is exactly what Hayes and I discussed on an episode a year or two ago of High and Mighty, because I'm obsessed with it too, as a New Yorker turned Angeleno. And then, like, lazy person turned, like, green energy guy. So now I'm, like, all about walking in public transit. And I'm, like, I'm having everyone on from LA Pod on to talk about this, to get this fucking
about transit. I didn't realize that was what Hayes came on to talk about, too.
I feel like we maybe talked about, like, improving LA life or helping homelessness. It was... So what I'm just trying to do is get the important shit you guys are talking about on your podcast to about 30% of the mouth breathers that I have that won't listen to a hot podcast that sounds like homework, you know?
Right.
They're like, oh, hi, Mighty, I'll get stoned and learn about the fucking Metrolink.
I have no desire to assign people homework either. So
right.
It's an unfortunate quirk of my personality that half of what I say ends up being about Metro. It's like, if I could get away from it, I think I would. it's kind of like there's like the saying, like, do what you love, you never work a day in your life. For me, it's do what your undiagnosed OCD compels you to do.
Well, that's an interesting way to look at it. People say, like, you know, if you do what you love, you never work a day in your life is the expression. But if you do what your brain chemistry compels you to do for a living, then you're accidentally working for the rest of your life, which for me is dominating conversations, which is like what people hate inviting me to parties for, but it helps in this one instant. So.
Yeah. It's not me, it's my brain chemistry.
Yeah, we're putting our ids on full display here. Yeah. My id is just pure transportation. Why not have a link there?
Right.
But what... I lived in New York for like 10, 12 years. I was at New York City, and I was scared at first of public transit, and then I evolved... Because I grew up in the suburbs, so I went from car guy to transit guy and then moved to LA 8 years ago and had to, and I was so dragging my feet about a car. I hated it. And now I'm like I'm a car guy. I drive a fucking Volkswagen station wagon 9 years in. So I'm not that much a car guy, but I like the idea of having a car, something I never had before. It feels like a layer of freedom that I never had before, the ability to get like 90 minutes away from the city on my own.
Right.
It feels good. But it shouldn't be the fucking norm. I live right off Melrose, and I live in between Melrose and Beverly in like West Hollywood. So I see.
That's a great area for, I mean, as far as LA goes, for like, you got buses that actually will show up eventually, which
yes.
is a vast improvement over large parts of LA. Right. I mean, you're adaptable is what I'm hearing.
I'm ready. The thing about, and we moved to this neighborhood, I think a lot of New Yorkers in the comedy scene move to Los Feliz when they come out here, or that east side. But I think a lot of us also are drawn to this area because we were so New York City at this point. We were afraid to like, wait, it needs to have at least one coffee shop under four blocks. You know, like we had all these plans to walk to things. And like now no one does that. And nine years have passed and I have make my own coffee at home now. And I'm like, well, now I don't need to live in a small apartment in the most walkable neighborhood in LA because no one's walking anywhere. There's not even a place to go legally.
the time that you're going to a coffee shop, it's like 8 miles away. You're in a studio city to meet up with somebody for some one thing in a place that you're not ever going to go back to again. That is, I think the default for LA for so many people. And it is, I mean, I'm actually surprised to hear you say that you were afraid to use New York public transportation, because my entree into your body of work is listening to you list out all the the LIRR stations.
Yeah. Well, I grew to love the train. As a suburbs kid, it was like the city was also, my parents were like close-minded blue collar high school dropouts. So it was like the city is dangerous. And so and then you eventually move there and you're like, wait a minute, at 1:30 in the morning, I could stumble in here and stumble out here. And it's like, this is a fucking, and then there's something about the being forced to be in public with other people that kind of like levels up your behavior a little bit. Like everyone has like a slight extra level of respect that is eliminated when you're all in your car on 101. Like you're just like saying the worst things about a stranger.
It's literally like you're all in like a shared living room space or whatever. Like, I have my pre-COVID, I have my bar that's like an extension of my living room. And being in a subway car is kind of like that, honestly. Everybody is kind of just like doing their home things for the most part.
I love
the feeling of being in public in a situation where not only am I not expected to like make conversation with people, but it's frowned upon. Like that to me takes a lot of pressure.
Dream come true.
He'll be like, oh yeah, human contact, but just enough, just the right amount.
What's it called with kids? Like parallel playing? Like you're like, they're not interacting at all, but they're both on the same swing set. So I'm proud of Scott. He's really opening up. He's playing near those other children.
I need that, but if I could actually have someone observing me and like maybe giving me a check mark on a clipboard or something saying, yeah, you did it. Good for you, buddy.
You're crushing not interacting with other people.
Respectfully distanced. Yep. I mean, the my way that I discovered LA transit, and this is honestly hard for me to even believe at this point, but there was a point when I first moved here that I was I was doing courier work for hospitals in LA, and so I spent literally all the time that I was working on the freeways, mostly overnights, hating my life. Like literally, like until you work a shift where it's like midnight to 8:30 in the morning and you're just literally driving all the way out to Orange County, up to Ventura County and back, and I had the experience of coming home towards the end of my shift and falling asleep on the off ramp of the 10 trying to get back to my office in Culver City, and like, you know, sliding into the guardrail.
Oh, Jesus.
It was terrifying. It was terrifying. And you know, I had so much frustration built up at that point. But when I was not working, I was like, I cannot be anywhere the fuck near a car. I just can't, I just can't see it.
I feel you on that, dude. I feel you on the swing the other direction where it's like, I don't even want to be reminded of, I don't even want to smell a whiff of a cologne of a coworker from that job right now. Like, I know.
Exactly.
I go on Zoom lock after like a two podcasts or like a big long meeting or something like that. When like my mother-in-law FaceTimes, I'm like, I can't look at a fucking computer screen again. Meanwhile, I'll look at it like for 11 hours playing Witcher 3, but I won't. I don't want
That's different. That's restorative.
I get to just shut off, you know. And not only is it it's not only do not people not talk, it's frowned upon.
It's completely swinging the other way. If you have suggestions on the Zoom block, I need that. I don't know, other than like making fake events in my calendar, how to achieve people. I can't do it.
I find myself actively being like, okay, what's the exact opposite of Zoom? And it's like, go for a walk or read a book. And then you're like, man, those are like, those are big lifts right now.
I sit down with a book for maybe a 5-10 minute stretch. You read, you know, maybe a sentence or two, maybe the same sentence twice. Then you just say, like, you know, it's not happening for me today. It might not happen for the rest of pandemic. I don't fucking know.
I'm trying so desperately. My listeners are so tired of hearing me talk about this, but I'm trying so desperately to become a reader again. I feel like Flowers for Algernon. Like, I have no idea. Like, I'm like, gifted child turns 40-year-old man who's like, books are hard.
I feel like everybody, so for me, like, I definitely, when we first started quarantine, obviously not knowing it was going to be as long as it has been, while everybody else was doing their self-improvement thing, making sourdough, what the fuck ever, I went hard the other direction. I was like, I'm just going to wallow in this for a while. Like,
you were making cocktails a lot, right?
I was making cocktails, yes, without really the good sense to actually like learn how to make them taste good. So it really just ended up being about a half a glass of alcohol with a little bit of bitters dashed in there.
It's like someone's like, what have you been getting into lately? You're like, I'm actually getting really into mixology. It's like, oh, what are you making? I'm like, whiskey with ice in it. Oh, okay. So you're getting into alcoholism. Yeah, exactly. But you try to dress it up. Like, I'm really into fitness. I'm constantly running away from women's bathroom windows. It's like, dude, that's not exercise. But you're clearly describing something else in there.
Yeah, I'm like learning what is the appropriate amount of gin to put in a glass to you know, how to balance the ice cube just right. So the ratio when it melts. It's all about chemistry. That's mixology to me.
We started with a lot of gin and we're going to work our way down a little bit. We're going to have a less than a lot and then slightly more less than that. And we're going to just figure out the right amount, but we're guessing right out the bat with a lot of gin.
At this point though, I am now my big thing when I'm trying to do self-improvement is, I'm just trying to cook. I'm trying, like, not even bake. I'm just trying to cook my meals. And instead of ordering in from the same 5 to 10 restaurants, which felt great for maybe 6 months or so, and now it's kind of depressing, like everything else.
Were you a cook before shit hit the fan? Were you able, like, and not a cook?
It's been
but
just
like,
relaxing to me. Yeah. I find it very, very relaxing to put my apron on, to get in the kitchen, to throw together. The thing about cooking for me though is I don't have recipes. I'm not good with recipes, and so it basically has to be it's like improv in the kitchen. And when it comes together, that's a great feeling. And when you're really hungry and you fuck something up and it tastes terrible, that's a bad feeling. But yeah. So I mean, that's been my practice, my self work. During pandemic is getting into some more real cooking techniques, trying to hone my ability.
Yeah, I've always been able to cook, but my wife is more of a cook. So like I don't get to do it that much, especially now that she's always around. Normally, I would like cook myself weird meals when she was gone. I'd be like, this is how you try to make, you know, it's a shrimp quesadilla or whatever.
Right.
That's my idea of a weird meal. Just weird for me to make that for myself.
That seems like it would be a hard one to really screw up in a meaningful way. Yeah.
Oh, you mean worst case scenario, you're just rolling up tortilla, cheese, and shrimp, and it's a fucking win-win.
It is
rewarding. It's rewarding. And then the thing that leaks into my brain when I'm doing it that makes it negative for me is how difficult it is for me.
Yeah.
Rubs up against, like, if I know someone else would do this so much easier, I should just let them do it. And even though I feel rewarded, here's a great example. Someone got me a bidet. Shout out to the Sakame brothers. Listeners got me a bidet for Christmas, sent it to the PO. Uh-huh. And it's fucking beautiful. And I'm finally getting around to setting it up this week. And I can't. I spent like 4 hours trying to hook it up to the and it's like, it's so simple. It's just this T valve, sweet lap, you know? And I was like, uh huh, got it. I tried for a full day, could not get it. Took like a full night off, used my wife's bathroom for the night because the water was shut off. She's not happy that I'm shitting in her toilet now. So I fucking spend the next day. I can't do it. We have to call a plumber, pay $200 to have a guy put a bidet in. It's like three different screws. He's like, but he goes, were you trying to turn? And I was like, yeah. He goes, you destroyed the inside. You fucking ruined your whole toilet. I was like, oh. The way he talked, my dad is deceased. And I felt like my dad channeled this guy in this one moment. It was like, you fucking ruined the toilet, Johnny. Like,
I had a bidet just appear in my bathroom one day early on in the pandemic because my wife got it because
hell yeah,
there was no toilet paper anywhere. There was just no toilet paper, right? So it was during that period where everyone was like, okay, well, nuclear winter, what do I need toilet paper, Red Bull, whatever, like all these things just disappear from the shelves.
Gun sales, toilet paper, and tushy bidets sold out in no time. It was like AR-15s and toilet paper. If that's not like fucking what's his name, I'm like all over the place mentally, but that's like the most an indictment of American culture: toilet paper and guns. It's like shitting and bullets. That's what we are. Oh, I'm thinking like a Paul Verhoeven movie would have like toilet paper and like his
gun in the tank of the toilet. Right.
And this one comes with a gun in the toilet. Enjoy it, you pig Americans.
Is that done? Is that a Dutch accent?
Hey, that's you know what? That would be a great thing to get canceled for, is for doing a Dutch accent. It's like, it was offensive.
John Cabrus last night was wildly out of pocket with the Dutch accent.
People are calling for his resignation. They want him to, I guess people don't listen to other podcasts. This is the most offensive thing happening out there. Meanwhile, people are
laying tulips at your front door.
But I gotta say, Scott, and just to downshift back to the conversation, I have an awful or a barely existent relationship with transit here in LA.
Yeah.
And I feel bad about it. I've ridden the train like or bus like once or twice, and it was like purely because like, oh, there's a festival in Chinatown, it would just be easier to take the train in. You know what I mean? Uber sort of like knocked even thinking about public transit out of the way at first, because you'd be like, oh, parking sucks over there, maybe I'll take public transit. And then it's like, well, Uber eliminates that in a way too. Yes. And it feels, but now would be the perfect time to use public transit, but now I'm scared again of diseases.
I've taken the bus a couple of times during the pandemic, and what is wild about it is first of all, everything is free. They've made everything free during the pandemic, not because, you know, they're like they feel particularly bad about the situation for all of the workers who are trying to get around on the buses, but because the drivers actually said, the fare box is up here right next to us, and we don't want the fucking germs anywhere near us, so they can't collect fares. So first of all, it's free. And second of all,
I should have known
still.
And it wasn't for empathy reasons. Of course. Why, like, surprise the fucking prize?
It wasn't because the Grinch's heart grew three sizes that day or whatever. Like they also cut service at the same time that they were doing this. So the buses are packed. And everybody, all, like the drivers have their little safety zone where you're not allowed to go, but everybody else is kind of just crammed in there. And it's like, good luck to you.
And there's not going to be like, sorry, there's already 11 people on this bus, sir. It's like, no, I have to go to work. The reason I'm taking a bus in a pandemic is because I have to do something essential. Get me on the fucking bus.
they leave it to you. They're like, oh, well, you know, if you don't feel safe getting on this bus, wait for the next one. They cut service. So the next one may be coming in 20, 25 minutes. And I mean, if you just imagine being the domestic worker, right, who shows up at Super Bowl champion Tom Brady's house in Brentwood 25 minutes late. You're just like, I'm sorry, my bus was late. You know, what do you think they're doing? They're canning you, right?
Yeah. Yeah, if you work for TB12 supplements and your bus, you have to get on the next. I can't get on the next bus. If I'm not there, Tom Brady will eat a nightshade and he'll die. He can't die. He's got to win 10 more Super Bowls. It's all precious. Part of his deal with his devil. The deal he made with the devil. To get to fuck Giselle, live to be 100, and play football into his 80s, but he can never quit.
It's like that Brendan Fraser movie, Bedazzled.
I know exactly the one you're... I'm friends with a guy who looks like Brendan Fraser in the corny romantic comedy beach scene when he's got like the weird face. Like I know a guy who, I shouldn't even said friend because now he might listen, but I know a guy who just looks like that. And it was always like the second I met the dude, I was like, wow, he looks like Brendan Fraser as the, so you saying Bedazzled, I don't know anyone else throwing that around out there. I was pumped to hear it.
It was a rough cut. Yeah, yeah. No, I mean, no, people have the same, I think, reaction as you to the same relationship to transit here, and I get it. Like, I really get it. It seems like at every opportunity, you know, the city makes it very tough. Like, I live in Silver Lake. I live really close to a Red Line stop, and I go out, you know, by that way every day, and there are, you just see like lines of people in the tiniest sliver of shade. I think this is a common experience for people who live in LA. If you come from a different city, it is like you've landed on a foreign planet, because like New York, Chicago, any of these places, if you are riding the bus around, like you get bus shelters, you get treated like you're a human being at the bare minimum. But
well,
here in LA,
even like,
we like
in Chicago and New York, if you're on the street, you're part of an organism. In LA, if you're on the street, raw is not how you explain it. If you're standing on the street and walking in New York or Chicago, you're part of the larger city organism. Yes. If you're walking on the streets of LA, you are, the city organism is cars, and you are a, like, speed
problem,
detriment. You're a problem. Yeah. And that's what's wrong with, that's what's wrong. Like, I drive down Melrose. I live right off. I drive down it every day, and it's a clusterfuck, and people are crossing not at lights, and it's making, like, walking across, and it's making, and you want to get angry, and you're like, no, they should have a crosswalk. Like, yeah, no, the people should be, Melrose should be, you should be able to walk around here on Melrose. It makes sense. It's a fucking, it's all stores. And You guys on LA Pod have me fucking radicalized for designated bus lanes.
And I'd love, like, to hear that.
I'm screaming, like, my wife and I, we have the same conversation every time we drive down Melrose. I'm like, all you do, get rid of all this fucking parking, and you can have, and she's like, well, if you're a business owner, are you mad that you're losing parking? I'm like, these people have one spot in front of their store. And she's like, well, you can park at any of the spots around. I'm like, yeah, but if there's buses, people aren't going to park at Robertson or build a parking structure at Robertson and Highland and like on ends of it. So people could be like, I want to ride the Melrose bus all day and like and shop on both sides. You could fucking do it.
We're poisoning relationships is a big part of what we do. Yeah.
The main thing I do is LA Pod has taught me to fight with my wife.
Yeah, I mean, it's such a huge problem because the buses here, I mean, God, the bus on Melrose, and all of those ones that go across the LA Basin, Santa Monica Sunset, they go like they literally go like 5 miles an hour. And it's different than your crosstown buses in New York, which are also very, very slow. But like Manhattan is what, like 2 miles across? Like nobody's trying to get 20 miles across New York on bus because
you might need 20 minutes to get across a bus to get you to fucking Vermont and then need to go north or south or from there. And it's like, that's a lot of work.
People literally are taking the bus 20 miles here in this city. Yeah. And that is a very sad state of affairs. You know, like those are the
that's
people who are taking
a lot of time.
3 hours to get to work.
It's brutal.
Time that you're never getting back. So I mean, I fully get it. And the crazy thing about, since you mentioned crosswalks, is this is like for me, this is I feel like somehow my life's mission has become taking down LADOT, the Department of Transportation, where their job is putting in the crosswalks, and they won't do it. They just like refuse to do it. Their most common refrain, other than saying just because you don't see a crosswalk doesn't mean it's not there, which good luck with that.
Telling that to the driver who's slamming on their brakes while the kid and a dog are in the fucking like stepping out onto the street.
You actually nailed it, because the other response is come back when somebody dies. They will straight up be like, yes, if there is. If somebody dies somewhere, that's the quickest way to get a crosswalk painted, because it becomes then an actual liability, a proven liability for the city. So Department of Transportation is literally like, go out there, try your luck. If you die, maybe the next person gets to cross
that's
the
fucking
street.
Wild. The Department of Transportation has people who are supposed to be thinking about transportation, and here's what they're thinking. It's like, well, until someone dies there, it's not proven to be dangerous. It's like,
exactly.
We're talking about people blasting cars down road. Like,
it shouldn't be like a fucking pilgrimage. Like, you know, like you said, you're like trying to get to a coffee shop or something. Like, I'm not trying to make some kind of like grand statement.
All right. I'm going to fucking step into traffic at Hollywood and Highland to finally get a crosswalk so I can get to.
Remember me. Just please. Remember me. And then the next person who comes into office will demand that it gets taken out immediately.
But now I'm scared that I said, LA Pod has radicalized me. What if I go so far into becoming like, I'm willing to die for the cause? Step in front of a car and be like, the Gabrus crosswalk will be put in here now. Although I step into a car, I step into the street. I end up getting sued by the owner of the car I destroyed that hit me. How was I supposed to know it was a Prius? I fucking wrecked it.
Then you get to turn around and sue us for.
Finally. That's all I want is to fucking sue some motherfuckers. Premium CBD delivered directly to your doorstep. That is what Feels is. And Feels is also a proud sponsor of the High and Mighty podcast. Feels is premium CBD, so it naturally helps you reduce stress, anxiety, pain, and sleeplessness. I take a little droppers in the morning with my coffee, and then a few more in the evening before bed, and I just had my morning ones with some morning coffee to record this ad, and I'm ready. It's just a few drops under your tongue, and you can feel the difference within minutes. And if you don't even know what CBD is, or you're very confused by how it works, they offer a free hotline. There's no high, there's no hangover, there's no addiction. It just works naturally to make you feel better. It's a community, so join it and get Feels delivered to your door every month. Become a member and get 50% off your first order. Feels has me feeling my best every day, and it can help you too. Become a member today by going to feels.com/mighty, and you'll get 50% off your first order with free shipping. That's feals.com/mighty to become a member and get 50% automatically taken off your first order with free shipping. feals.com/mighty. That's the shit that drives me crazy is hearing stuff like that, where it's like, My wife wanted to get a speed bump put in on our street because it's now the pass-throughs in the, would you refer to this area as the basin? Like that's where like Beverly, like this Hollywood, West Hollywood area that I live in.
Yeah.
People cut through these side streets insane.
Of course.
I'm talking like garbage trucks, food delivery trucks, like neutral, like I lived off the over the BQE in Brooklyn.
Yeah.
When I lived there for 8 years, I lived above the BQE and I had less like loud random car noises than I do on a fucking cut through street. People fly. And Tiffany went around and tried to get, and they were like, you have to get X amount of signatures from your neighborhood. It's like, who's going to be anti a speed bump? And I live on a street that's LA on one side and West Hollywood on the other, which makes it parking insane, getting help, getting any, like the street signs are so
going? How's the signature gathering campaign going?
Fuck, dude. No, like my tip's like,
shit.
Yeah, she said to the lady, whoever she talked to in the city, she was like, I'm not going door to door in this. Like, can we just get, like, you would think like the roads would get repaired here while like commuting was down or like you would think something would have happened for, oh, now would be the good time to test some new transit shit while things are slowed down or while essential workers are the only people still, you know, it's like, let's try shuttle buses and shit like that. Yeah.
They are doing some kind of government version or some kind of weird partnership that is basically like Uber or Lyft or something out like way out in the San Gabriel Valley. I don't think that's really taking off though, because you know, like Uber and Lyft already exist and they do the, right. they do the fucking thing already. It's crazy though. I feel like every neighborhood has very similar stories about the cut through traffic, and it's specifically because, well, I mean, you know, like obviously there's Waze or whatever, but here in LA, where basically everybody has a car, like I think the really wild statistic is, I feel like it's 8 out of every 10 people in the city own a car, and there are actually more cars than there are people, because a bunch of people own more than one
but it is
wild though, because like so many people are just like barely hanging on out here, and cars are so expensive to own that we have essentially deputized a huge number of people, hundreds of thousands at a minimum, probably millions of people, to become Uber and Lyft drivers in LA specifically. There's so many people doing this work here. And I feel
it's
way more than like any other city that you could think of.
And that's the crazy thing, is that there's thousands of cars out on the street. I mean, there's still a lot of people taking Ubers and Lyfts. I have a lot of young people who live in the buildings around me. They're in and out of Ubers and Lyfts all the time. I almost like wanted to call into LA Pod because I have a fucking party house on my street.
I have people call in. I like that idea.
Yeah, you should call in episode. when do you record? I keep calling you the house at all different hours. Gabrus, I'll just fucking tell you to call me when we're doing this. Stop trying to guess when we're recording. Just give me Alyssa's phone number. She'll answer me.
So you have like an influencer house or like one of the...
I have like an apartment that has like a few big units and with like some roof access and some outdoor space. And then like the front unit is particularly big and no one ever seems to really live there. And it seems to be like an Airbnb. But about 5 months ago, me and my wife noticed they've had parties like weekly and we're always like, it's some new asshole renting it. And then a few weeks ago, my wife and I noticed, as someone who's been a bartender, caterer, waiter, went to a bunch of events, you could see the back of a fucking high top bar with like bottles on it. Like they had those fucking like space heaters, like the restaurant, outdoor space restaurants. And I'm like, those motherfuckers are having a full on party and no one's living there. And I'm like, oh my God. Actually, I should just tell on myself. The first time we discovered it was a party house was because my wife was, we were outside in front of our house and it's like really close. And I was just smoking a J and my wife's like, what are you looking at? I'm like, isn't there like 12 hot girls in that apartment right now. And she's like, what are you talking? She's like half angry. She's like, what are you talking about? I'm like, look in. There's a huge window in this house. And I'm like, look in there. And there's like 12 6-foot tall women in black dresses, like all doing their hair and hanging out together. And I'm like, I'm staying out here because maybe they're shooting an adult film or something. So I'm like, I'm staying here as long as. And then we like, you know, eventually go inside, come out. And it's like, they were the wait staff. They were cocktail waiters and bartenders for a huge bash. And we were like, these people, I'm like, oh, sexy. Oh, no. Instead, you're just a super spreader event and not the fun kind of spreading.
You're just watching somebody cater for a couple hours. Yeah, Bullshit on several levels. The funny thing to me, though, is like the influencer houses that apparently just like cannot be stopped because their like revenue stream is completely dependent on just like
things
being able
happening.
To show themselves. Yeah, exactly. Show themselves having a good time or whatever on
they have
on
to give
media.
Their followers FOMO. Like that's how their money is made. It's like,
yeah, it's actually boom times for that. Really, if you put it that way, like it's so easy to get people FOMO.
Yeah, it's working. I got it all the time.
I honestly though, I'm amazed by the specific brand of like the Jake Paul and Logan Paul sort of thing only kind of sort of has intersected with my world of local politics, because at one point in time, Mayor Garcetti in LA was trying to get them kicked out, apparently, of their party house. This was pre-COVID. And so they had their like army of followers bullying the mayor. That's just like the fun thing that you get out of social media.
I know. It's so crazy. That's funny too, because that was pre-COVID. They were just mad when he would have parties because people were rich that lived on his street.
Yes.
Right? Like that's always the case.
Campaign donors.
Yeah. Well, although I live by Cookies, the dispensary, and they've been dealing with a lot of like neighborhood drama, because every time we walk past Cookies, they have like new signs up and regulations. It's like no driving down this street whatsoever. No loitering. Like, because I think the people around here are like, also Cookies attracts like a black and brown clientele as well. And I feel like people are like, there's 100 black guys standing on the street. And it's like, yeah, they're at the number one tourist destination in your neighborhood, you fuck. And it's
right.
Also happens to be essential. So it was the only thing open for like the last 7 months that these kids could go to and hang out. And so many people, and like, you just saw the neighborhood up in arms and signage, and Cookies has like an army of security guards that are like blocks away and sweeping the streets. Like I live like 5 blocks away, and I'll get people in Cookies t-shirts street sweeping like by hand, just to like be like, don't hate us neighbors,
this is so
we're making billions of money.
I haven't ever
billions
heard
of money. Whoops.
I haven't heard this dynamic with specifically with a pot shop, but that is, I think you're probably exactly right. People are just like, black people aren't supposed to be this far from the Supreme store.
Yeah, right. Exactly. I moved 6 blocks shop. Away from Fairfax to not ever see a black person. I live next to the Vivian Westwood here. Like, my neighborhood is so fucking weird for that shit. But what do we have hope in LA? Like, to me, it feels crazy. Like, two questions. I'll hold on to the second one. Do we have hope in LA? I feel like we're so green, and recent elections of like Nithya and people, it feels like the right people who have like other people are getting involved in local politics. People like you and Hayes flip something for a bunch of people who are like, yeah, I guess like I can complain about Trump, or I could like be a huge swing in this little council district, which can have positive effects directly on mine and my neighbors' lives. And you just open my eyes up to that. So that being said, roll that all into like, should we have hope about LA? Should we like about the future of like mass transit and like, you know, getting off fossil fuel cars, complete dependency?
I think so. I think even going back a couple of years, like, things have changed dramatically. Like an example that I can give that gives me hope for the future of transit in LA is that those those cuts that they did to the bus service, where they were just like, okay, 25-30% of the money that we're spending on buses, we're just gonna cut it, fuck it, everything will be fine. Most of the people who ride the buses are very, very poor, and we just don't care what they have to say. They actually went through and undid those changes just about a week ago because there was such a huge backlash to that. And that is something that I've never seen happen before in all the time, all the years that I've been watching Metro stuff here. Normally, people show up. They're like a handful of people show up. They're like, okay, you're making a very bad decision. It's going to hurt a lot of people. They're like, okay, cool. Check. And then yeah. Do it anyway.
I totally agree. Is all they say. Yes, I agree. Next.
And so like seeing them fully backtrack on something like that seems monumental.
Yeah.
And cool, and thank you. I mean, like as much as I love it when I hear from people like, you know, LA Podcast got me into local issues and stuff like that, I feel like there's been a whole infrastructure, like we're incredibly lucky to have just this infrastructure that's been built up over several years, you know, groups like DSA and other local advocacy orgs who have done an incredible job of pushing that exact message that you're talking about. How do we channel some of the energy that exists here into some of the terrible ways of living that people are just accustomed to and don't even think about on a day-to-day basis? So I do have hope, and I think that it's really just as a product of the energy that has been generated here, and just seems like it is building and building every day. So I'm hopeful that things will get better.
From my small slice of my small sample sale of LA people, which is a lot of comedy people, Hollywood people, and podcast people, I'm happy to see a lot of us freelancers with free, like people who aren't grinded to the core, like being like, yeah, Wednesdays I do this, like Mitra Juhari doing like all these mm-hmm. comedy people, Hayes being like maybe the icon of that, of just like, yeah, I got into volunteering and then helping with like blah blah mm-hmm. and just seeing that, and you're like, oh, that is something I could do with my time. And also I think I you know, I'm 39 now, and I'm like, I'm around for however many more years. And it's like, do I want to just care about like working money and going out to restaurants? It's like, maybe and I don't have any kids, and me and my wife currently are not planning on having any kids. So it's like, we got to spread our wealth out. Cause I'm a big proponent of like, I mean, this is not brilliant mind thinking or anything, but like, if we all just put out like 10%, if we moved our radius of what we are empathetic towards, out 10% more, all of us, there'd be so much overlap of like our empathy radius that like you wouldn't. I think the generation before us, like our parents' generation, Scott, I think you're younger than me, but like my parents' generation was like the get your kids to college, get your kids health insurance, and get your kids into a nice job, and get and fuck your, and if your kids don't get it, it's because your neighbor got it. Exactly. And it's like, if a neighbor gets it, it's not for your kid. So do not. And then I think our generation is like, man, especially like pressure off. I'm speaking, I don't have a kid that I'm stressed about. Like, I hope you're. So I'm like, well, how do I make the world better for, what if I make the world slightly better for way more people? Like,
I think we all have a mindset. I'm 30, so I feel like my parents are very much of that same mindset that you're describing. Right. As much as I feel like you know, they have latterly tried to change that, I feel like it's pretty deeply instilled in them. But I feel like for us, like growing up, especially now, it's become very apparent that like, we are the people who the ladder got pulled up on, basically. Like, it's like, what are we gonna be doing? Like, fighting over what's left after all the glaciers are melted, or whatever.
I think it's partially age thing, partially like the vibe here. But I have confidence in LA just because there is still that hippie wellness mm-hmm. undercurrent, which is dangerous, we're learning from General Michael Flynn, but and the QAnon folks activating the Venice Beach bodybuilding community. I follow so many fitness influencers that I had to unfollow when QAnon started popping off. I was like, what, dude? I just liked hearing your bicep routines. And now I'm like, you're reposting a video of like a long-haired guy with a beard and a suit, and you're like, think about this, bro.
At a certain point, all of the like anti-vax and QAnon and like all of the various West Side cultish tendencies are gonna connect up, and we're all gonna be fucked.
Yeah, I look forward to the fucking, well, like the yoga QAnon army waiting for us at fucking meet us at Justa, or is it Jelena? What's the fucking Abbot Kinney restaurant?
I mean, they already tried to do a like a the Munich beer hall putsch at Erewhon, basically.
I know.
That's so on brand.
That had me texting a cop friend asking, is it considered self-defense if I punch someone in the face who has no mask on next to me at the grocery store? I instantly went there. He was like, you can make a case. And then I joked. I joked. I was like, well, whose side would the cops be on if I was the masked liberal? he didn't answer that.
On that note, I have a request into the LAPD for them to tell me everybody who requested vacation time for the Stop the Steal rally.
Yes! Yes, dude!
The reason
we have reports of one cop there, and he didn't go to the rally. He just was sightseeing Washington, D.C. yeah, on a Wednesday alone.
and then the next day they're like, well, he was there, but he was displeased with the way that things played out or whatever.
He was there, and he did watch a cop be brutally murdered by other off-duty cops dressed in American flag makeup, and he was pissed.
By next week, it's going to be, he was in the Speaker of the House's office, but he told people not to take her stuff. Taking her mail was where he drew the line.
That was his piss in Pelosi's wastebasket, but not his fecal matter. My client did not shit. Okay, he shit a little, but it was mostly because he was peeing and he had to go. You know what? Send him to jail.
I contend it was already there. I contend that the shit was already there.
Yeah. We don't have any evidence of the shit being put there. Shit could have been there the whole time. What do you think is an easy or next step potential for Los Angeles? Like, I feel like Los Angeles should be more bike friendly too. I know we're sitting here talking about buses and stuff and the trains, but we do have like, you can ride for like 10 to 12 months out of the year. like you
Whether
can't ride in August,
for,
maybe. Yeah, exactly.
I know. And the thing is, like, you know, biking is extremely dangerous here. And I mean, like, LA is not alone in that. Like, I feel like it's kind of tough in a lot of major cities. But I used to love riding my bike, and I would ride my bike from the west side to downtown LA where I was living. That was, you know, whatever, 12 miles, something like that. And that was scary, but I was enjoying it until I got hit by a car. And then I no longer was able to enjoy it. And I was lucky, you know, like I was lucky. Yeah. It was a very low speed collision. I was fine, other than having crippling medical debt. You know,
I was fine. I lucked out. I was healthy, and I'll never ride a bike again because of anxiety and PTSD. And I'm still paying off the debt from it. But I was one of the lucky ones. And that
is lucky
true.
Ones. And that's fucking, and it is 100% true. I mean, here we have the bike share, which is actually something I've started experimenting with doing. The electric bikes are like a fucking dream. I love that. Getting those just into more neighborhoods would make a huge difference here. Like if we get to a place where people can go from Silver Lake, Echo Park, this area where there are those bikes out past Hollywood towards where you live, that makes a big difference. Like, 'cause those streets are some of the like most heavily trafficked. Some of the, like, you know, people making trips just either for pleasure or making really short trips to their work once pandemic is over. So that potentially has a lot of potential to change the way that people get around the city and think about moving around here. But really, it all comes down to the buses. I started off being a big, and I still love taking the train here. I started off being a big booster for the train expansions locally. And then, you know, I kind of realized that I want to be able to, like, actually use some of the transit that is going to exist. Like, and a lot of these things, when you see, like, expected completion date for such and such rail line and it's in the 2070s.
Yeah.
You're like, what the fuck? we gotta focus on something a little bit closer at hand than that. And that's the bus.
What's the last stop on this line? Fucking Atlantis? We're gonna be underwater in 2070. we have to build buses and shit so we use less gas so that we don't go underwater. That's like exactly what we're trying.
And there, like, might be somewhere to go.
right. Like a big electric buses in designated lanes could be, like, you know, think about just how quieter and cleaner and nicer smelling LA could be in, like, no time from there.
That's a selling point. Nicer smelling. Let's make LA smell a little bit better.
Honestly, that's the thing that drives me up a fucking wall, is because the barrier to all of this is individual people who are like, I'm never going to ride the bus. I'm rich or whatever. And it's like, fine, but vote for the bus. You're not going to street park either. Like, just fucking.
Exactly. I mean, there's just like a small, and it's honestly small, but there's just like a small cohort of people who get viscerally upset when they see a bus or like a person waiting for the bus. And they're just like, this is a waste of my time and tax dollars.
Seeing
there's that weird, like, what, like, LA totally has the hippie vibe, but there's also a weird, like, libertarian bent out here where people are just like, I don't want to pay taxes for it unless whatever. And that's sort of like a weird holdover from a very outdated version of California. But, you know, I don't know, until all those people move to Dallas, I guess that's what we're working with. I keep reading stories about how they're all moving to Texas and it's so much better there. And yet it seems like there are still more people to go. So,
yeah, I know. Joe Rogan has to, I got to leave LA. It's too soft. It's too woke. I got to move to Austin. Oh, right. Okay. Oh, you have to move from Calabasas to Austin, Texas. And
gotta recover a little bit of my edge.
Yeah. And what do we know about you, Joe Rogan? You recently signed $1 million deal for Spotify. And what do we know about Texas? No income tax. Interesting. Okay. Okay. Oh, have fun. Okay, yeah, you hate California. Got it. that's the shit that, like, we were joking, but, like, put out an ad or get a campaign going that's like, imagine walking down fucking Silver Lake Boulevard, insert this street, where there's half the amount of cars and it's quiet electric buses, and, like, the sidewalk's big enough that you don't, if someone is walking slow or that's the other thing with LA, if someone's waiting for a bus or someone is unhoused or temporarily on the street, it's a big to do because we have no space for anybody, because we don't think about the people on the space. All we care about is, like, Melrose is four lanes.
Yeah.
It's like, what the fuck? Four lanes and parking on both sides. That's six lanes.
Yeah, it's wild.
It's like, what do we need six lanes for? And it's dead stop traffic the whole time. It's like, I don't.
God, we
I,
need more like you, John.
like But I understand not wanting to ride the bus personally if you're one of those people. But if we pay money and infrastructure into getting bus, you're never going to be forced to ride the bus.
This is
where I get really worked up, Scott, because this is the same shit as abortion and the same shit as anti-vax, where it's like, no one's saying you have to get an abortion. You're saying we're not allowed. And I'm saying you, we and me, because I'm putting myself on the left side of I believe women should, could do whatever the fuck they want to their bodies. So, but these people aren't just saying like, well, I won't, like, I disagree if you say I will never let my daughter get an abortion, but that might be the only person you're allowed to not let get an abortion.
Right.
And like, I get it. You don't want to vaccinate your kids. I don't get it. Let them die. I don't give a fuck. But you're not allowed to stand in front of Dodger Stadium and not let other people get vaxxed.
Get the COVID, yeah.
If they're dragging you out of your house to get a fucking needle in your arm, I'm with you on the 1984 of it all. Okay, the Orwellian of it all. When that happens,
the version of death panels that applies to buses. I would honestly personally volunteer. I'd be part of that. I'd drag people out of their homes and force them to ride the Melrose bus. I don't care. But you're right. That seems like it's a little bit far-fetched. I don't think that that's necessarily what's going to happen if we say put in bus-only lanes. The thing that to me seems like an obvious goal, but is never a goal that seems like it comes out of any politician's mouth here, is LA is the foremost, and this is something people don't think about. LA is the foremost bus city in the country. Like, we've lost a ton of bus ridership, and yet, like, it is clearly the backbone of our system here, in a way that the subway is in New York City, in a way that the L is in Chicago. It's clearly the centerpiece of our transportation system, and you know, more than 1 million people a day are riding it to get around out of the, you know, 10 million people that live in the county. So many people are using this.
I had no idea it was that high. That's a stat.
It's fallen quite a bit from there. So I feel like it's now like 800 some odd thousand because of like Lyft and Uber and because sucks. But the thing is, like, when you look at that and you see there's the existing demand for that transportation service, it seems like the reasonable response would be LA should have the best bus system in the world. Why not?
Right.
That's not even a goal that like a lot of other places have or have to state. But in LA, it very much could be what we're targeting. And it's just simply not. Like, we're always like, okay, well, good enough is fine for the buses. And then they'll be like, but in 50 years, check out our rail. But it's going to blow you away.
Well, it's always said, like, these people are like, well, I'm not going to ride the bus, so I don't care. I'm like, well, what if we make the bus great?
Yeah, exactly.
Maybe you'd ride it. Maybe the reason we don't ride it is because it's more inconvenient than it has to be, more crowded than it has to be, a little more difficult to use than it has to be. If we simplify all that and make it easy for people, maybe people might not use their cars. Or once a week, a person who would normally drive for that errand will be like, well, if I'm not really going off Melrose, I'll just take the train all the way down to Osteria La Buca and jump out there and have dinner. Like, just shit you can do if buses are. That's what, like, in New York City, it's just like, you could be like, we'll get on the one and we'll go up and we'll get out at 76 because it's somewhere around there. In LA, it's like, what? Oh, no. Public transit is not even like the conversation. People would be like, get in your car. It's brutal. It's 11 hours of traffic to go 8 miles, but that's the only way to do it.
That's,
it's like,
the only
well, there's
option.
Buses. Yeah, it's like, no.
Wait, I mean, I've had so many experiences. Even when I live downtown, surrounded by where all the train lines connect up, just trying to get people to try transit and being like, you know, this big booster for like, look, I hate driving. Uber is expensive. Let's just take the bus, let's take the train. Without fail, every single time I've tried to introduce somebody new to the metro system, it's like, okay, we get to the bus stop, and that bus said that it was coming in 2 minutes, but actually it came 2 minutes ago and the next one's not coming for an hour. And people are like, you fucking do this?
Yeah. All right, let's grab an Uber.
You expect me to do this?
Okay, your treat on the Uber then? Nightmare. Wait, Scott, I just thought of something. You told me when you were riding your bike once you got hit by a car. We just talked about this a pod.
Yes.
Weren't you also mugged while jogging?
I was not jogging. I was walking home from seeing the movie Jojo Rabbit. at the Vista. I was actually just talking on LA Podcast about how I have so many experiences going to the Vista, one of which was a stampede when people thought that there was like a, potentially a shooter in the lobby. And I was like, yeah, I have so many experiences at the Vista. It's the closest theater to me, but it's definitely not my favorite theater in LA.
Yeah, because you got a few bad memories attached to it. I totally forgot. I'm like, man, got hit by a car. Oh my God, didn't you also?
Yeah. I was on my block too. I was literally, I was on my block and I got bugged. Yeah.
Oh, that's a fucking bummer. Were they, you talked about it on an episode of LA Pod, but were they young kids? Were they younger?
Oh, yeah, they're teenagers. Yeah. They're teenagers. One guy hit me in the side of my face. I managed to, whatever else I can say, I managed to hold on to my phone, which was what they were trying to get off me. And then at a certain point, I think that they were afraid that the car that they came in was going to leave without them. So they just booked it. And I was like,
so they never got anything from you?
They just like anything from me.
They just rough housing, trying to grab the phone and just gonna get. You get in the house, it's like, your screen time is up. You're like, fuck you. I just fought for you, Siri. Oh, no. I activated her.
Didn't even get my steps in that day. No.
You can't. I haven't beat that level of drop 7 yet. Like, ripping it out of the guy. No, I just got a photo in the DMs. Let me open it before you take it, please.
I actually don't remember what I was doing at that time, but I think the most likely thing is it's just me with my phone out texting somebody, hey, just saw Jojo Rabbit. Yeah. I really like that movie.
Just saw Jojo Rabbit. Nazis are bad, huh? Question mark. Guys mug you like, what the fuck are you texting your friend? I like that movie. It didn't have much sticking power with me. Like, I have no desire to watch it again, but I enjoyed it when I watched it. Not as much as everyone else did. People went ham for it, but I liked it. I liked it too. Friend, that little kid was so cute.
Yeah, it was. Scarlett Johansson. I liked that. I liked that for her. You know, anti-Nazi warrior. Better than
Black Widow. Better than a Russian operative.
Yeah, that's exactly what I was.
A movie where we're rooting for a beautiful woman who's a Russian spy. Donald Trump's America. Everyone's gonna be Black Widows. The future. Black Widow everywhere. Tons of Putin's got a lot of Black Widows. Do you have any like dream things for LA? Like down the, like, imagine, you know, like what's the Fraser 2070 plan for LA? Like if you have, God, like if you're playing Sim LA and it's time, like what are you focusing on? What are you building up? What are you trying to get going?
I mean, honestly, the thing for LA that seems like what we should really be doing is, I mean, what we are actually doing is we're building streetcars that go, I mean, they're in their own lane and everything, but the light rail, like, streetcar that goes 60 miles out in one direction, and you're riding it, you're like, what the fuck, this is not fast enough. This is frankly just like it's not really an option comparable to even spending a ton of time in a car on the freeway. What LA needs to do and isn't really doing is have a much more like regional vision for how people get around. Like, if you go to, I mean, yeah, like New York is not the best example of this, but like the LIRR, those kind of trains that are more suburban oriented. Paris has a fantastic system like this, which is so much fun to ride.
Oh, I went, when we went to Paris with my wife, she's like, it's vacation, let's just take Ubers. And I go, you have no idea how much it means to me to figure out the stops to get to fucking Jim Morrison's grave. Right? Like, I'm going to do it. I'm going to look it up myself. I'm going to find it all. And it's a little easier with apps and now and shit these days. But I enjoyed thoroughly and being like, okay, I think we transfer at the next, you know?
Yeah.
And missing a stop, like on vacation, I love missing the train stop and being like, but I think if we get out and walk back, we should get, like, I love accidentally finding that. That's what I do when I'm on the road as a comedy person. Like if they have public transit in their town, I always want to take it. And Paris is, it's so good.
Yeah.
When you look at like a zoomed out overhead, you're like, it's like makes sense. You know what I mean? Where you're like, oh, this one goes north, this one goes west. But you were saying, I'm sorry, you just said something, the regionality of LA.
Yeah.
That could be the future of, like, if you get yourself to the basin, it's easy to get around. Like,
that should be it.
It kind of sucks to get from Burbank to the basin via public transit. But once you're in the basin, you can shoot around. Once you're in Burbank, it's easy to go up and down. Like, everyone have their systems. Like, that would be, and then the jump would be the sort of like in New York City when you're like, the train is great, but I'm on the west side and it sucks to go cross town. Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I know. So what you want is you want a situation where if you're like in this central part of LA, if you're in the basin, that you have the option to get really quickly around all of the main points there, the really dense neighborhoods that we've got. But if you're going further out, instead of having these, like, you know, kind of slower trains that are making local stops, et cetera, you want to be able to have a more regional option, something that gives you, so like, for example, our first light rail line that we opened is from downtown LA to downtown Long Beach. And people in LA think about that as all part, I mean, Long Beach is a separate city, but it's like all part of the same big LA organism. But in reality, it's 25 miles away and that train takes over an hour to get there. And so it's kind of just like, you need to think about that as something that is like a regional distance, something that you're going to handle that by stopping fewer times, making a train that goes faster. And that's the common practice when you go out to any other suburban to urban transportation. Here, we've kind of convinced ourselves that there is no city and there's also no suburbs, but it's not really true. I mean, it's like it's a common thing that people say about LA, but there is a city and there is suburbs. We just sort of have gotten used to not seeing it.
They're a little more intertwined rather than like as delineated as other cities. But you're describing something that appeals to me too, because that could help LA a lot too, is easy ways to get into LA from outside of LA. If you work in downtown LA and you live in West Hollywood and you want to drive to work, that's an hour drive. That means you could live in Long Beach and commute to downtown LA in an hour. And that's like Long Beach rent, a little more affordable than WeHo. You know what I mean? Like, like think about all those like places that people want to live, but they can't because it may, like, if there was like a train that went from like Playa and then got somewhere near over here, you know what I mean?
Yes.
Or like like you can live in fucking, what are the, some of the weird, like Altadena and like, you know, those areas that people move to, or like all the way outside deep into the valley, and like a quick way to get you into Hollywood.
And like, the crazy thing is like, this is when you think about it regionally like that, and like, yeah, getting from Playa, getting from the beach cities to the center of LA, it's almost like unfathomable. I think, you know, there are people who do it. There are people who go from Manhattan Beach or whatever to work in LA live. But it sounds miserable. I mean, there's a reason Kobe Bryant was taking helicopters everywhere. It's like, you're not fucking doing that, generally speaking.
We're going to blame LA Transit. We're going to blame Kobe's death on LA Department of Transportation.
I'm here. I'm here to do that. That is what.
That's, if you take away one thing from me being on High Mighty, I want it to be that LA DOT has blood on their hands.
We started talking about this last year, like right after Kobe died, and I was just like planning it all along. That's my big reveal.
I hope we see some of this stuff, because opening up LA to like live outside of LA and work here with easy commuting without it being cars. Like, because what we know LA is going to do before they would ever be like dedicated bus lanes, this train, they'll just put like a second level on the 405. Like, it'd just be like, drive the upper 405. So now it's 16 lanes or whatever, which is horrifying. Like, we're just going to add more roads or lanes, which stresses me out when it's like, if people can get from Malibu into the city without ever going on the 405, rich people might live there and commute. Like,
yeah,
I was so jealous. A friend of mine worked at Netflix and they had like little Netflix organized it because they had such bad, it's so many employees and could not overwhelmed with parking that they hired shuttles and they got shuttles that were like, it leaves like from deep West Hollywood, like Beverly Hills, and drives down. And it's like my buddy, when he lived in San Francisco and worked at Instagram, he had the same thing where it's like the bus takes him to, and it's like a Wi-Fi bus and it's like hybrid. And it's like, why has it got to be
panels?
Yeah. Why has it got to be private enterprise that does all this shit when the city could fucking do this for people? And if people move outside of LA, rent goes down, it becomes less congested. And if people aren't commuting in and out, traffic is easier. People are visiting more. People are working more. It's like,
you just got to give them a reasonable option that's different than just being alone in a car. And that is totally what we failed to do. At this point, though, it's like the buses, the rail expansion, that's not even in the race right now. I mean, as far as what the city is actively attaching itself to, it's like a race between Elon Musk's underground freeway tunnels and Uber's
Olympics.
Helipad.
And then like personal drones, the Olympics, like all the shit that they're like, you're like, no one wants any of this. We just want to be able to. I've been doing so much more walking in quarantine, like for exercise, mental health, everything, just like getting a few miles in every day. And just, I don't want to drive somewhere to hike because I'm like, oh, I'll just, it'd be better to walk the neighborhood. But after a while, you're like, I have to walk like 2 miles to get to something new, which is fine. That's life in like a suburb area. Yeah. But at the same time, it's like, this shouldn't be that hard. Like,
no.
I rode my bike through Brooklyn. I was terrified, but I did it. I sold my bike a week after. I thought I was going to be riding everywhere. I was researching bike paths to the beach. I'm like, I'm going to ride everywhere. I don't want to be a car guy. I got on my bike once here and then put it on Craigslist for $50 right after. I was so scared. It's brutal.
It's like, horrifying. It's really so scary.
It's scary to be on the sidewalk and the street here. There's like no safe space. Every once in a while, I jump on a bird out of pure excitement just to fucking, like, if I walk like 3 miles away from my house and find a bird, I'm like, this is how I'm getting home. I just smoke a joint, jump on the bird, put on a podcast, put on LA Pod, and just buzz down my slow streets of Oakwood that people are driving fucking 7 miles an hour down. I walk the slow streets and I'm the guy, and all because you guys bring it up, I'm the guy who walks out into the middle of the street and stands off the side. It's slow streets because they're just all knocked down. Oh, wait.
People are just like gunning for those. They clip them.
Aiming 40 for miles. Them.
Slow streets.
Scott, this was a blast, man. Thank you for coming on High and Mighty and chopping it up. You got anything you want to plug? Tell these people where they can find you. Tell them about the Sepulveda Pass. Tell them about everything.
I can be found at S-A Frazee, F-R-A-Z-I-E on Twitter. I am on the LA podcast, which is every Monday with a new episode about local news, politics, and my aforementioned compulsion to talk about LA transportation. We are actually working on a couple of other things right now. We do have the Sepulveda Pass, which is our Patreon, patreon.com/theLAPod. The other thing that we have coming is a big history of the Fashion District, which I'm really excited about. We're going to put it out as its own show, all about the history of one of Los Angeles's most intensely criminal neighborhood. So if you are a true crime person, if you're a history person, if you are a communist organizer, there will be something in that
for everybody.
Show for everybody. Yes. We are very excited about that one.
That's awesome. Yeah. Highly recommend people check out the LA pod. Even if you don't live in LA, I think you might enjoy some of like the energy and attitudes you guys and the lights you're shining are things that can be helped out in any municipality or town or city or whatever, wherever you live. And also it's entertaining and you guys are funny. And hell of a fucking theme song. Hell of a theme song. And I'm one of the few that likes the new one, the one that got relegated to the end of the episode, because I'm a huge fucking fan of Friedkin in that movie. Surprising.
I'm glad you are holding it down for the new theme song.
I'm holding it down for the new theme. I text Hayes that too, to no response. Not a great communicator.
He'll get back to you next year.
Yeah. He'll get back to me when I text him about something else. He'll be like, "Oh yeah, thanks about the song too." But when he reads both of them for the first time in 2022. I'm at Gabris on everything. My other podcasts are Action Boys and the Gino Lombardo Show. Check those out. Those cost money, so I don't care if you don't listen to them. But thank you for listening to High and Mighty. Check out LA Pod. That's the main thing I want you to get away. Bye, shitheads.
That was a HeadGum Podcast.
In a part of the world where there are no rules.
Holy shit.
Holy shit, guys. Holy, I'm so pumped.
I definitely have not watched this since I rented it on VHS in 92.
Strangers united by the threat of death.
We got all the fucking major players. Seagal.
Vladimir Putin is a good man.
Arnold.
Here, come. Give it to me.
I need you to cream pie me now.
Stallone.
People are loving this movie.
It's got a lot of heart.
You're mentally irregular.
Now. Somewhere, somehow,
body blow, body.
Someone's gonna pay.
I would fucking love for my wife to like see me rip a guy's throat out.
But they didn't count on one thing.
This movie's fucking insane.
It's how you know it's a good movie. You have to do almost all the work yourself to figure it out.
Well, there's a fantasy component. Yeah. There's some sword fighting.
There's some lightning.
Bam, 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 bam.
There's a new game in town.
You wake up after a few years, and then you don't even know who you are anymore.
We're going to be making Terminators.
We're going to make a really great deal with the Xenomorphs.
What? I don't hate them, but I've been in a room.
Yes, I understand.
This is now the 20th ending of the movie.
I am Dar.
I'm your dad.
Action Boys. Boys will be boys.
Subscribe here for bonus content and more free stuff from behind the paywall. To get new episodes, become a patron at actionboys.biz.
Do it! Do it!
Come on! Do it now!